Hey, this is Doug Jones, and you are listening to Slugcast.
You better listen when I speak of freaking geek convention. Hunter fan of speedrunners and chicks and stunners. Yeah, you gotta know she listening. She licking on my beardy chin.
I'm assuming that they tell their mothers
no. Well, bummer. Hell, I'm into smelling glue. Doctor Who, kinky interviews, black caps, dark rims, and black and white shoes. Bad movies, good music, and I like vagina too. On a side note, I make my own beer. Who wanna brew? It's the Slugcast.
All right. By the sound of that little opening intro, I think you might know what that means. This will be the Horror Hound Weekend wrap-up episode for November of 2011 in Cincinnati, Ohio. Wow. Okay. Some of you may recall my very first ever trip to Horror Hound. Okay. It was in Indianapolis a couple years back. I don't remember the year, but whatever. It's my first one that I went to. Talked about it on the show. There was a lot of shit that went down then that happened now as well. I'll just go ahead and get it out of the way. We blew another fucking tire. So for those of you who are friends of mine on Facebook or on Twitter or whatever, you probably saw on Sunday coming home that I blew a tire while driving through Illinois. I don't know if I mentioned it or not on Facebook, but I didn't have my jack with me. It was at home in the garage. So, lessons were learned, stories were told by the Department of Transportation guy, the guy that came out and helped me change the tire. He was an awesome guy. Basically left me feeling like a total dumbass for leaving my jack at home. It's currently back in the car, but I will post I'll post the picture that I took of the blown tire. You can see how much damage it actually did to the car. We were doing about 60 to 70 miles an hour at the time when it blew, and somehow we didn't die. But as it stands at this point, and I really hope it will be the last time I have to say these statistics, over the course of two different Horror Hounds, we've had to replace five tires. The first Horror Hound that I went to in Indianapolis, Brother D from Mail Order Zombie and his wife Bryn were in the car the day of Horror Hound, the very first day in Indianapolis. We're driving along. We hit a huge fucking pothole that looked like Godzilla just stomped into the fucking concrete. Just, it was probably anywhere from 6 to 10 inches deep in the ground. It was basically like driving straight into a curb. But it actually like lowered us down into it and then just slammed into the part that came straight back up. It was a nightmare, but that blew both the tires on the passenger side of the car. And when we got to the nearest tire shop, which was luckily just right down the road, they informed us that our third tire was actually bad and would not make it back to Kansas City. But that was the back driver's side tire. So we ended up replacing all three of those tires in one day, which pissed Connie off because it was her car. Just, it was a nightmare. Well, fast forward to this one, and on the way home from Cincinnati, we're in Illinois, going over the bridge, going over one of the rivers, I don't even remember. But we're on a 270 going towards Kansas City, and all of a sudden, my back passenger side tire decides it's going to explode. And a bunch of the rubber from the tire was just like whipping around on the car and actually ripped part of the fender back. So yeah, that was a little scary moment. So, Yeah, so we were pretty much stranded on the side of the road for about a half hour to an hour for the Highway Department of Transportation guy got there and helped me put the spare on, and then we were on our way, which caused us to be stuck in Illinois for an additional, I think, 2 hours or so while they changed two tires. So, yeah, that was not fun. And it's caused us to make the decision of if we ever go to another Horror Hound, we will be flying and people will be picking us up and bringing us back to the airport and driving us around everywhere. We are not driving ever again. It's just really bad luck with Horror Hound and tires in general. So it just happens a lot. And it ends up being cheaper to fly, honestly. Like, just each way, we're spending a ton of money for gas. So, which somehow the gas was way more expensive up in, like, the Cincinnati area, and even in, like, Illinois and Indiana. It was, like, 50 cents higher than it is here in Kansas City. The lowest gas price that we saw on the way was $2.99. That was the lowest we've seen. When we left Kansas City, I think our gas prices were $3.09, and when we were up towards Cincinnati, it was anywhere from $3.49 to $3.59 a gallon. So it's considerably more expensive. So anyway, enough of that shit out of the way. Let's go ahead and talk about the actual weekend itself of Horror Hound. By the way, I will jump back to the beginning of this episode. What you've already heard was Doug Jones doing a promo for Slugcast, which was awesome. I will get to that later. So, no spoilers, but I met Doug Jones, and it was awesome. So, I don't even think I'll do like a day-to-day thing other than just saying that most of Friday was spent driving. And you know what? Not too many people know about this, but I'm just going to go ahead and throw this one out there as well. The plan was we were going to leave at around 5:30 in the morning to start driving to Cincinnati. Well, we did that. We actually left on time. I had been up since about 4:30 in the morning getting ready to go. And as we're leaving town, we're in Belton, okay? I live in Peculiar, Missouri, which is a little bit south of Belton, which is south of Kansas City. So I'll just kind of give you a general area of where I'm from. Well, I guess it's pretty much fucking pinpoints if I tell you what city I live in. But anyway, we get to Belton, which is probably about 10 minutes away from our house. And Connie, who was making her triumphant return to Horror Hound, she hasn't been to one since my second one, I think. The first one they had in Cincinnati. She hadn't been to Horror Hound since, and she was coming back. So anyway, we're leaving town. We get to Belton. We're at Quick Trip getting gas, and Connie goes, "I forgot my ID and my debit card." So I'm like, shit. All right. So we had to turn back around, go back home. We get to her house and realize that her debit card is in her car, which is at the house, but she had given her mom the keys to our house so she could come over and, you know, feed the dogs and, you know, take care of the fish and all that, you know, just do general house sitting things. But rather than just give her the house key, she gave her all of her keys, which had the car keys on it. Come to find out, the spare key to that same car was locked in the car. So we had to go to her mom's house, get the key super early in the morning, go back to our house, which, by the way, this is only like 3 blocks away, so it's not like we're driving miles or anything. Go back to her house, went to her house, came back to our house, got the keys, got the driver's license, got the debit card, all that. And then we're finally on our way. And Connie has now since forgotten, or not forgotten, but she has since put the spare key in a separate place other than inside the actual car. So yeah, a lot of lessons were learned on this trip. So, one of the lessons is we will fly from now on. The other one is don't have your spare key inside the car. Another lesson, make sure the jack is in the car right along with the spare tire. So, yeah. So anyway, we're on the road, and for the first time ever on a long road trip, Connie and I did not fight with each other in the car. And I mean, generally we don't fight anyway. We have like minor little disagreements here and there, but on road trips, we tend to just like hate each other by the end of the drive. We're just like, I just want to get out of the car and not be around you. So this time it was amazing. We're like not fighting at all. We're having little dance parties in the car to whatever song comes on the radio. And, that can be kind of difficult because out in the middle of like Illinois, there's nothing that you're picking up that's decent radio wise. So, but yeah, it was pretty crazy. I mean, we're getting along, and by the time we got there, we were still alive. You know, we hadn't killed each other and didn't want to. So that was pretty awesome. Well, we get into Cincinnati. We, drive to Jay Emmett's house, Jay Emmett from, he's going to kill me for this one, the Obscure 80s podcast. Fuck you, Jay. That's what you get for saying that nobody listens to Slugcast. But anyway, yeah, I'm just messing with you, man. The guy's like a brother to me. He gives me shit, and I'm going to give him as much shit as I possibly can right back. Gave me shit all weekend. So, anyway, yeah, I say fuck you with all the love in my heart, Jay. Okay, so whatever. Anyway, so we get to the house, and Jay's not there. I don't know what's going on. Apparently, he was at the mall, you know, scamming chicks on the food court or something. I don't know. Which is weird, because they're probably all just weird Cincinnati mall chicks with high bangs. But apparently, it was the entire Penny Cult crew. And by the way, he's not from the Obscure 80s podcast, okay? He does many, many shows. All on the Penny Cult Network, which Slugcast is a former member of. But he does a show called Ball and Chain with his lovely wife Heather, who met us at their house and is awesome. He also does a show called The Geek in News, which everybody needs to check out as well. And I'm sure he does a bunch of other crap too. So check him out, Jay Emmett, awesome guy. But anyway, all those guys got there, and immediately we were like, oh, hey, what's going on? And Connie immediately got, like, suspicious of something. I don't know why, but she's looking at me and Jay, and Jay immediately was like, hey, come downstairs. I got to show you something. So I was like, all right. So I go down there, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to see, you know. But he takes me into his recording studio area. And the whole time that we're down there, Connie's like freaking out, like, what's going on? Why are they being so secretive and, you know, hush-hush about things? Well, in reality, which is not, you know, in Connie's mind at this point, Jay was just showing me his Tron collection, like his little Tron memorabilia collection. For those of you who know Jay, he is the biggest fan of Tron ever. For Christmas last year, I got him a Tron name tag, but a dog tag with his name engraved in it. And he wears it like every day, I guess. So, but he was showing me his Tron collection that he's recently, you know, expanded. So, but he was just like super excited, and it just like, he's like, come downstairs, I gotta show you something. And it just freaked Connie out for some reason. So, by the way, I'm not sure if the microphone's picking it up, but if you can hear dogs barking in the background, I'm just going to go ahead and apologize for that now. We recently adopted two more dogs. The other dogs, other than Lita, we now have Molly and Dingus, which are Connie's mom's dogs. She was actually going to send them to the animal shelter, and we were like, no, 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 we want them. So we... You know, since we added the fence to the backyard, we also added a back door to the house. So now the dogs can go in and out the back door without us having to, you know, take them outside or anything. So, But yeah, if you're hearing barking, that's what the dogs are doing right now, is they're outside barking their heads off. And so far, we haven't had any neighbors complain, but if they do, they can go screw themselves, because they are loud and pretty much white trash. So anyway, back to the story of Horror Hound Weekend. So yeah, that was pretty much Friday. They got there and they were like, all right, we're hungry, let's go get some food. So they take us to a place called Penn Station, which is awesome. It's kind of like a regional thing to Cincinnati. Penn Station is, the way they put it, it's like the Chipotle of like sub sandwiches and like Philly cheesesteaks and stuff. Really, really good. I recommend it if you're in that area. Check it out. They're really good. I don't even remember what kind of sandwich I had, but it's beside the point. So, from there, we were immediately whisked off to the convention, which was still going on when we got there. We got in a little later than we anticipated, but at the same time, it was still, you know, early enough in the night that we could hang out with people. See, Friday night. Yeah, Friday night. We ran into a ton of people, some of which I mentioned on the show, some of which I have not. Ran into the girls from Gleecast, Emily and Erica. You guys need to check them out. They're fucking hysterical. I was on their episode entitled Asian Effie, if you want to check that out. Go ahead and listen to it. It's pretty awesome. Ran into Fozzie Bear of the podcast, who I have also appeared on his show. Let's see, met some other people from other podcasts that I had never met before. I just kind of, I've heard their shows, but I've never met them. Met Big Willie and Samurai from Gentleman's Guide to Midnight Cinema, who I've actually played their promo on the show before, and great guys, really, really cool. But we all went to this, you know, big, like, after-party kind of thing. And, you know, I mean, it was just, like, the general convention stuff that we were doing, just walking around the show floor. And some of the first people we ran into were the United Living podcast crew, who were always amazing. And as soon as I ran into them, I was like, where's Kelly? Where's Kelly? Because he's my favorite person ever. So I had to track Kelly down. And the first thing he said, I will never forget, because it was one of the greatest quotes ever, and I just wish I had my pocket recorder recording this. I walked up to him, and he goes, hey, Slug, what's up? I'm drunk and awesome. So I was like, okay. how long have you been drunk, Kelly? Shit, since I got here? I'm like, oh, fuck, he is hammered. At this point, it was like 6-7 o'clock at night, I think. And he'd been there since 4, and he was already drunk at 4, I guess. So, but yeah, it was pretty awesome. Then we walked around a bunch. Connie kind of went off and did her own thing, just wandering around the show floor, which I was going to let her do, because sometimes there's just no control in that woman. And yeah, she just walked around and kind of did a little bit of Christmas shopping, or attempted to, I should say. And by attempted to, I mean she didn't get a damn thing for anybody for Christmas, but she was looking for things, but it's kind of hard to even maneuver around the show floor. So, yeah, I just kind of like walked around and checked out different booths and saw what I could see. Ran into the guy who runs t-shirtbordello.com, and really nice guy. He was super awesome. And I was wearing my Slugcast hoodie, which, yeah, I have one of those now. So if anybody wants one, get a hold of me. I will see about getting some made up for you. So anyway, I was wearing my Slugcast hoodie, and he just asked me, he's like, hey, what's Slugcast? So I told him a little bit about it. And I had a button that had the Slugcast logo on it, and said, here, you know, have a button. Gave it to him. He was like, oh, that's cool, that's cool. He immediately put it on his jacket that he was wearing at the time, and handed me a zombie survival poster like how to survive the zombie apocalypse poster. It is awesome. Everybody needs to go check this company out. It's t-shirtbordello.com. Great people. They have awesome shirts, and I will be including a link in the show notes. I have a ton of links I'll be putting up in the show notes for different booths that I ran into. Ran into Joel Robinson again, who is always awesome. And he had a really cool little like pinup chick there with him, known as Pretty Poison, I believe was her name. Really awesome, and he actually did a new drawing of her wearing an R2-D2 dress with C-3PO in the background, and it's super hot and awesome. Yeah, everybody needs to check out Joel Robinson if you haven't already. He's one of my favorite artists. So yeah, awesome guy. Oh yeah, ran into the girls from Midnight Mausoleum again. Yeah, they were there and not expecting to see me, and I showed up. They're like, "Hey, what's going on?" And it was pretty crazy. They were off in their little booth, just doing their thing, and ran into Robin Graves actually more than Marlena Midnight the entire weekend. I actually only saw Marlena one time the entire weekend. But Robin was just everywhere. She was like, you turn around, oh, there's Robin again. So, yeah, it was always good to see them. Tom Berdinsky was missed. He was not there, but I highly missed that guy. Granted, it's only been like a month since I've seen him, but, you know, he's a cool dude, and anytime I get a chance to see Tom Berdinsky is a good time. So, God, I don't even remember who all we ran into. Let's just put it this way. Check out the photos that I took. They're posted on my Facebook page. If you see somebody you recognize, that's probably who I saw. Oh, shit. How did I miss the tallest guy there? The one and only Tall Charlie, also known as Charlie Gonzalez, the white guy with the Spanish last name. Tall Charlie, a.k.a. 6'9", 300-pound giant beast of a man who was drunk off his ass as soon as I got there and saw him. I walk over to him. He immediately picks me up, me, who's like pushing 300 myself, picks me up by the waist, and my knee immediately knees him right in the balls, and he drops me on the ground again. Yeah, that was entertaining to say the least, but it's Charlie. What are you going to do? So, also ran into Brad Anderson from Movie Mashup, or Mashup? Matchup. It's one of those two. But they're both from Rebound Radio, home of Slugcast, other than slugcast.com. So yeah, go check those guys out on reboundradio.com. You know the drill. They're awesome guys. So, oh yeah, there was a guy right after I got picked up by Charlie and kneed him in the balls. There was a guy in a possible costume. I'm not sure if it was really a costume or not, but he was pretty much dressed like Ash from Pokemon. Ash Ketchum from Pokemon. I'm not sure if it was a real costume, and I couldn't ask him because the guy was so drunk they were actually having to drag him around by his arms and legs and then sit him down on a couch for a while. The hotel security was trying to get him to leave, but he couldn't walk. This is only Friday night, and this dude is so drunk that he can't even walk or speak. So, I don't know. There's crazy shit that happens at Horror Hound, and if you haven't gone, you need to go and just experience it for yourself. I had one drink the entire weekend, and I'm not even sure whose it was, but I opened it myself. I didn't get roofied or anything, so. But it was up in the little after party, so yeah, it was a good time. Oh shit, something else happened on the way up to the after party. Charlie, being large and tall and drunk, and a whole bunch of other people, some of which we didn't even know, as we're going to this after party, they decide, hey, let's take the elevator. So I'm like, okay, let's go in the elevator. Connie is smart and decides, I'm going to take this empty elevator over here rather than cram into an elevator with 10 or, you know, 12 other people. So she takes the other elevator. I'm like, okay, I'll see you there. you know, I'm telling the full elevator, and I'm going to get on the elevator with Connie. Well, as I'm saying, you know, oh, I'll see you there, I ask them which floor. And before I can finish saying which floor, Charlie grabs me from the back of the elevator, reaches out, grabs my shirt, and pulls me into the elevator as the doors are closing. So now we've got several rather large Midwestern fellows crammed into an elevator, and there's that bitch in the elevator too. Patrick from Scream Queens knows what that bitch is. Or I guess he uses the term this bitch or whatever. She's the bitch who freaks out and gets everyone killed. Well, we're all in this elevator. Charlie being huge, me being rather large myself. You know, several other people being pretty good sized in this tiny little elevator. And then Jay Emmett goes, "Everybody, jump!" Which a couple of people do. And I'm just immediately thinking, oh shit, this is going to go bad quickly. So we start heading up. We're headed up to the 12th floor. We get to about 4 3/4. And the elevator comes to a screeching halt. The doors do not open. We are now stuck between floors. And the panic ensues. Not by any of us. We all think it's kind of funny because this is apparently a Horror Hound tradition. Apparently, people get drunk, overload the elevators, and they get stuck between floors because there's too many people. And then there's a bitch who is in the back of the elevator freaking out because she's claustrophobic. Now, in my honest opinion, if you're claustrophobic, don't get on a fucking elevator. Especially not when there's going to be a shit ton of people getting on there with you. And especially don't stand at the back of the elevator. So, lady, you had it coming, honestly. So, but anyway, we're stuck in the elevator for probably about anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes. It wasn't super long, but it felt like hours, honestly. But as soon as it stopped, I immediately went into, oh shit, I'm stuck in this elevator. I don't know if we're going to get out. Panic mode. But I was like, calm panic, you know, I was panicking to myself. I immediately reached down into my bag and pulled out my empty water bottle. So that immediately made me think, oh shit, I don't even have something to drink if, you know, I'm stuck in this elevator for hours. So that sucked. But at least I had something to pee into if I had to. So, but yeah, so I had like no snacks, no water, nothing. Just surrounded by a bunch of loud, drunk people. I took a picture of all the people that were in the elevator with us, and it was crazy. It actually got to the point where we were considering climbing up Charlie as if he were a tree to get out of the escape hatch up on the top of the elevator, but the maintenance guy came and opened it up pretty quick. So then, as soon as we got out, we all, you know, started celebrating, just like yelling and everything, and not even paying attention to the fact that it's like midnight at this point, somewhere around there. And we may be waking up other people in the hotel. So, we got yelled at by some chick who came out of her room. She's like, "Will you guys keep it down?" We're like, "Sorry, we've just been stuck in the elevator." And she's like, "Oh, okay. Well, never mind then. I was stuck in there too." So it's like, whatever. But yeah, from that point, we decided to take the stairs the rest of the way up. Connie's all the way up in the party texting me from the party, "Where are you guys at? What happened? You know, we got stuck. We'll be up there as soon as possible," whatever. And then, you know, we had to take the stairs. So we had to go from the 5th floor all the way up to the 12th floor. I'm completely out of breath. And for some reason, I decide I'm going to walk behind Jay as he goes up the stairs. Well, Jay had warned me that he was a little gassy from Penn Station. And he farts one time. And it's like probably 2 feet from my face. It was awful. Well, I immediately just start freaking out like, "Oh God, you just farted right in my face." And that caused a chain reaction of everybody laughing and more people farting. So the entire like fire exit stairway, whatever the fuck it's called, now reeks of fart, most likely from Stewie D. I'm just gonna say it was probably Stewie D. He never officially claimed it, but it was probably him because he's a gassy little bastard. Yeah, great guy, but gassy as fuck. So yeah, the whole rest of the way up to the 12th floor was just stinky as hell. It might have been Charlie too, I'm not sure. So nobody will just fucking own up to it except for Jay on the first one, but that's whatever. It's a week ago, so. But anyway, yeah, then we're hanging out at the party, and Erica from GleeCast comes up, and she's like, "Hey, what's going on?" And I'm like, "Oh, nothing. You know, this is, you know, my girlfriend Connie." She's like, "Oh, cool. I have something for you guys." And she reaches into her little goodie bag that she had, and she pulls out these two little knit mermaids that she made for us. She makes all these cool little like monsters and different things on her website, and it's asmallworld.com, so everybody needs to check that out as well. GleeCast, friend of Slugcast, they're awesome and very crafty people as well. So, but she made these little mermaids, and Connie was just like, "Oh my god!" And Connie's actually looks like Ariel from The Little Mermaid, just a different color bra. And they actually have little knit bras on too, so it's kind of cool. Yeah, she gave us those, and we were just all hanging out, and it somehow became this like strange moment there where Charlie, in his drunken stupor, decides he's going to hug me while I'm sitting in a chair. Somehow did not spill a drop of beer while doing this, but he leans down to hug me and falls right on me. He's a big dude. He's crushing me. And then Jay Emmett, Stewie D, Questionable Mike, and Casey Masterpiece, and possibly one or two other people, all decide, "Hey, it's the perfect time to just pile on to Slug. Let's just do that." So I'm sitting in this chair. I can barely breathe, and I'm like, you know, got this huge pile of podcasters on top of me. That sounded really, really kind of homosexual, but it wasn't. It was just very uncomfortable. And I wasn't drunk enough at that moment. I hadn't had anything to drink at that point, actually. That came way later. But yeah, it was very strange and painful, and made me question my friend's motives. I'm wondering about you guys. You guys weird me out sometimes, but you're awesome. So, but anyway, yeah, like there was no like super huge like celebrity moments on Friday night. That was all mostly Saturday. I didn't get to go check out any screenings of anything at all, but I kind of wish I had, but at the same time, there wasn't really anything that I wanted to see other than Puppet Monster Massacre, which was being shown at 11 o'clock on Sunday, like 5 hours after we had to leave town. So we missed all of Sunday, but yeah, that pretty much wraps up Friday night. So I'm going to go ahead and take a little break now, play a couple promos, and come back and discuss some of the other events that took place on the second day of Horror Hound Weekend in Cincinnati.
Love. Noun. A profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person.
Now we're even. Shh. For you forgetting the year I was born.
Except
a couple
I remembered
times.
It tonight, didn't I?
A feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection.
Are you going to try to deny that you did it?
Maybe.
Well, then you'd be what's called a liar.
Parenting. Noun. The methods and techniques used or required in the rearing of children.
Because the only time we ever go out to eat is if it's Wendy's.
Well, that's true.
Well, he'll be down in a minute. Get out.
That's how you be a parent, right there. Quit interrupting, or else I'll beat you like I did last night.
Wisdom. Noun. The quality or state of being wise. Knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action or insight.
Yeah, that's stupid, and nobody should ever say that.
But it's true. But it's not stupid.
It is stupid.
Ball and chain. a heavy iron bowl fastened by a chain to a prisoner's leg. A burdensome restraint.
I can't work with this unprofessionalism. All right.
Ball and Chain. Every Monday. Look for it through iTunes or at pennycult.org.
We're so exciting, it makes me want to fart.
Are You Serious Podcast, bestoftheleft.com.
Linoleum knife, 35mm hero.
Chinstraker versus Pencer.
Family movie night.
Bloody good horror.
Skills on Film Radio.
Night of the Living Podcast.
A mail order zombie.
Outside the cinema.
Popcorn mafia.
Perhaps you'd be interested in Gleecast.
First time caller podcast.
Showshow.podomatic.com.
The David Pacman Show.
Hardcore Six Stars.
Hello, gentle listeners. I'm Fozzie Bear. There are a lot of podcasts out there, and it's impossible to listen to them all. That's where the Podcast Podcast comes in. On the Podcast Podcast, we have very special guests from some of the best shows on iTunes, covering everything from movies to television to literature to pop culture and politics. On the Podcast Podcast, you can listen to these guests and decide if you should check out their show or keep on moving. Find us in the iTunes store by searching for me, Fozzie Bear. That's F-O-Z-Z-I-E-B-A-R-E.
All right, and we are back with more Horror Hound coverage. All right, so, the promos that you just heard were for the new show Ball and Chain from everybody over at Pennycult, specifically Jay Emmett and his wife Heather Emmett. She's going to love that one. You also need to check out Growing Up Goonie, which I almost forgot about. It's a new show from the Pinnacle guys with Spank Dog. Spank Dog's on there. Pimp Daddy Spank Dog. What's up? he's a great guy. He's awesome. So ran into him, hung out with him a little bit at Horror Hound and all that fun shit. So the other promo you heard was for the Podcast Podcast. So everybody needs to go check that out as well. It's a really cool show. He talks with other podcasters about their podcast and, you know, lets you kind of get a little sample of what the podcaster themselves is like. So you know, find out if you like their show or not. So, yeah, I was on that show a while back and it's a pretty great show. So, I highly recommend his, Halloween episodes. It's a little two part. He called it the Halloween Hootenanny. Two part episode. Different podcasts talking about their Halloween stories and, like, you know, the scariest thing that's ever happened to them personally and favorite horror movies and all that. It's really, really cool show. Go check those out. They're really awesome. So, anyway, so yeah, Horror Hound weekend, day two, Cincinnati. It's Saturday. Saturday is the stereotypically the day that is just fucking packed, just craziness. My one complaint about Horror Hound, honestly, was there was just so many people there that you just could not get around easily. I mean, normally, like in Indianapolis, you can at least, you know, make your way through a crowd. There was times where, you know, Connie and I are just like standing still because we can't get past anybody. Aside from the one asshole who needed to have his fucking ass beat and just handed to him. Some dickhead decides he's going to just plow through the crowd. And he got stuck behind this girl who was walking with a very obvious limp. Turned out she had, like, cerebral palsy or something. I'm not sure what she had, but very obviously handicapped in some way. Pushes her out of the way and almost knocks her on the ground. And, yeah, me and several other guys were just like, dude, what the fuck? What are you doing? And just, like, yelling at this guy. Probably would have beat his ass had he stood still for a second. But, no, he kept shoving his way through the crowd. Just being a dick, you know. I mean, there's etiquette at a convention, you know. If you bump into somebody, you tell them you're sorry. You know, oh, hey, sorry, man. Didn't mean to run into you. You know, it's just really crowded here, whatever. No. This guy did not do anything like that. He was just an ass. And go fuck that guy. The guy's an asshole. But yeah, he. The only reason that caught my attention was because he bumped into me first and then hit this girl. So, guy was an asshole. So, anyway. enough of the negativity with the convention. That was pretty much it as far as negativity goes. So, anyway, so yeah, we're doing the convention thing, walking around, you know, checking out booths and everything, and you know, we're just kind of doing our thing, pretty much, just walking around. And yeah, I know I just repeated that, but that's pretty much what we did for most of the day, was just walk around from one spot to the next and just see what there was to see. Visiting different booths, you know, seeing what independent films were out there. I mentioned the Puppet Monster Massacre guys, ran into them again, and just awesome as always. And let's see, there was a guy, he made a movie called D4, didn't get a chance to get his name, but got a copy of the movie. I'm gonna check that out and, you know, see how that goes. And coincidentally, I actually ran into a independent filmmaker who I've heard a lot about and met before, but did not realize that he was a filmmaker. I believe his name is Michael Neal, I think is what his name is. He directed the film The Drive-In Horror Show. So I'm looking forward to checking that out at some point in the near future. But he also does a web series called Infinite Santa 8000, which is a blast. Everybody needs to check that out. It is, oh my God, there's no way to describe it other than just watch it. It's basically about Santa being immortal in the year 8000, and he has to fight monsters and shit. It's craziness. It's an animated series. Go check it out. It's great. So, but yeah, I ran into him, hung out with him a little bit at the little after party thing on Friday night, which I forgot to mention that he was up there. But yeah, just, you know, doing the convention thing is, you just run into people and have little experiences and brushes with celebrities and, you know, whatever. Now, rewind back to Crypticon Kansas City. I know I've talked about it many, many times. It's a highlight of my life because it's awesome and it's actually documented. I did a shot with Kane Hodder at Crypticon. Well, I just happened to see him, you know, between rooms, and I just kind of like, you know, tapped him on the shoulder. I was like, hey, Kane, what's going on? He turns around, he's like, hey, what's, you know, I'm assuming recognized me. And I was like, you know, I don't know if you remember, we were at Crypticon Kansas City together. And he goes, oh, fuck. And I was like, yeah, I know. He's like, oh, dude, this is way more people. And he goes, this is how conventions need to be done. The guys that ran Crypticon need to pay attention to this and, you know, do it this way with this many people here. So, but yeah, I mean, we just kind of like, you know, had that little moment, but that was pretty much it with Kane Hodder. You know, he was on his way. I wasn't going to hold him up and try and get him to do another shot, but I'm sure he probably would have. But yeah, I mean, that was just, you know, my little like, oh, I've met you before at a shitty convention and we're at an awesome convention right now. And, you know, just, hey, that was a weird moment, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, you know, so we're walking around, and at one point, Connie just is like, man, I'm really hungry. I was like, all right. Well, we look at the line, and there's already a line for Doug Jones, to meet Doug Jones. For those of you who don't know who Doug Jones is, check this guy out. He's amazing. God, this guy's amazing. Probably best known from the Hellboy series of movies. So far there's only two, but I'm hoping there's more. He plays the character of Abe Sapien, most notably in that film. Abe Sapien being the blue fish guy is the best way to describe him. If you've seen Pan's Labyrinth, he plays the Faun. He plays the Pale Man, which is the guy with no eyes, but his hands, like the eyes are on the palm of his hands. That's him. Plays the Angel of Death in Hellboy 2. Oh, shit. He was on an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which in my opinion is the best episode. It's an episode called Hush. He plays one of the gentlemen in that. He does a lot of, like, costume work in different films. So you very rarely ever see his real face. It's usually under makeup or, you know, masks or whatever. So, but the guy is awesome. He's very, like, articulate with his hands and everything. Just very, you know, oh, he was the Silver Surfer in the Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer film. Just awesome, amazing guy, and he's just very prolific. He's in a ton of stuff, and he's the guy that Guillermo del Toro calls if he needs anything done in a movie, basically. But anyway, so, you know, I look at the line, and he was the one person that I really wanted to get an autograph from at Horror Hound. And I was just like, man, I really want to meet him, but, you know, the line's going to be super long, and I don't know. And I was kind of debating whether or not I would even try. Well, Connie's like, well, let's go get some lunch, and you can think about it while we're at lunch. So we go to Long John Silver's, which is immediately a huge mistake. It made Connie and I both really sick to our stomachs. I was already in the bathroom less than a half hour after we were done, which, you know, spoiler alert on this one, that hit me while I was in line to meet Doug Jones. So, yeah, I basically had to get out of line, but Connie held my space, which was awesome. Got out of line, went over, went to the bathroom, which was only like 10 feet away, and was in there hurting for a little while, but that will be the last time I ever eat Long John Silver's again. So, just, oh, God. But anyway, I get back in line, and immediately Connie has to go to the bathroom at that point. So we're both, like, you know, leapfrogging around, like, trying to, you know, get to the bathroom. It's just a nightmare. But anyway, we finally get up to, you know, the head of the line, like the front of the line. And the line was not all that long when we got in it. We probably waited maybe 20 minutes tops, which for, you know, a celebrity like Doug Jones is not very long. But originally when we were leaving, the line was like down the hall, and it was like out the room that he's in, down the hall and down another hall and out into like the main, you know, floor area. It was huge. But we got back and it was just, you know, not a ton of people at that point. He'd worked through most of the line. So, but anyway, get up there and, you know, I just, you know, I pick out which picture I want. I got a really awesome picture of him as Abe Sapien. Asked him if he'd do a bumper, and he did, as you heard at the beginning of the show. But we also, you know, just kind of like chatted for a second. And, you know, I told him, I was like, I'm a big fan, you know, which he hears all the time. I mentioned a little web series that he appeared on called Retarded Cop or Retarded Policeman. I'm not sure which one it was, but either way, it was Retarded Law Enforcement Official of some sort. And on the episode that he was on, he plays a mime, which Doug Jones got his start as a mime. You know, say what you will about mimes, Doug Jones is probably the best one, aside from, you know, obviously Marcel Marceau, which is, you know, world's famous mime right there. Anyway, as I'm talking to him, I notice he's signing something else other than the picture. And what he's doing is he's handing out free copies, like little preview copies, of a book that he has coming out that's called Mime Very Own Book, where it's pictures of him and the guy from Retarded Cop dressed as mimes, reenacting, like, things from different areas of pop culture. There's Miami Vice and Dirty Miming, and, you know, they're all like plays on Miami Vice and Dirty Dancing and things like that. It is hysterical seeing some of these pictures. Well, it's like a 10-page preview of a 256-page book that he has coming out. But he signed that, and it's coming out in like February 2012, so everybody look for that. It looks awesome. So, but he signed that, and we were just kind of talking and everything, and for some reason, Stewie decided to give me shit while I was talking to Doug Jones, but it was probably because I gave him shit while he was talking to Doug Jones right before me. But Doug Jones was acting like he was biting Stewie's head, and I told Doug Jones to lick Stewie's forehead, which he did not do, and he actually just kind of looked at me like, lick his forehead? Why would I do that? I was like, I don't know, it's just Stewie, let's just fuck with him. Well, it comes time for me to, you know, get my picture with Doug Jones. And he decides to pinch my cheeks and go, who's your chubby bunny? I was like, oh, thank you, Doug Jones, you tall, scrawny man. But, yeah. So, Stewie took a picture of me getting my cheeks pinched by Doug Jones, which are on my Facebook page right now. So, I'm not going to not show you that picture because it's hilarious. But anyway, so yeah, that was a definite high point of the day, and you know, got some really awesome stuff from some of the booths. Just, you know, picking up some freebies here and there. Dead Ink Apparel was one of the companies over there, and they had a thing where if you signed up to be on their mailing list and, you know, find out, you know, more about their company, they would give you a free t-shirt. And it was one that just had their logo on it, and I signed up and got a free t-shirt, and yeah, it's pretty cool. So everybody check them out, deadinkapparel.com, I believe. Either way, the link will be in the show notes, so watch for that. Yeah, you know, other stuff happened throughout the day, nothing, you know, huge, until, you know, it started getting kind of late at night, and or later at night, and they're having the pool party, which we didn't go to, although I kind of wish I had now, because apparently we missed topless hula hooping. Some chicks took their shirts off and were hula hooping. I mean, what else would topless hula hooping be? I don't know, but anyway. Yeah, so we missed that, but it was mainly because we had to, you know, go to bed and everything, but because we had a long drive ahead of us the next day on Sunday, so we went to bed a little early, regrettably, apparently. So yeah, that was pretty crazy, but towards the end of the night, I was walking around, like, we're in the little lobby area, and Gray from the Dark Hours got there, and we met up with him in the little lobby area, and we're just hanging out with him for a while, and yeah, Connie got to meet him, and, you know, had her first impression of Gray. So Gray's a great guy. He cracks me up. But anyway, we noticed that, like, this large group is forming down the hallway while we're all standing in the hall, and or in, like, one of the lobby areas. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go check out what this big group is, you know, because a group always attracts another group. So I go and I check it out, and it's Michael Rooker from Walking Dead and Slither and shit, I'm blanking right now, everything he's in, but he's in Mallrats, just everything. The guy's awesome. Super nice guy, too. Well, anyway, I'm walking over there, and I'm like, what's going on here? And they're like, oh, this is his Facebook fan group. They all met up here. He had apparently got on Twitter or Facebook, or both probably, and sent out a status update that said, hey, I'm at Horror Hound Weekend. I'll be in this hallway. Come hang out. So this huge group of people just all at one time shows up in that one spot. And I went right over there too, you know. And he's asking trivia questions about his movies and things like that. And, you know, everybody's just kind of like, what's going on? You know, why is he asking trivia questions? Well, the first person who answered, you know, the question, or I guess it was just one question. First person that answered, he hands them this rolled up piece of paper. Well, he unrolls it. And what it is it's a target, like a shooting range target. And he had been practicing shooting zombies is what it was. It was a zombie target practice thing, whatever. And he had apparently gone to a gun range during the day at some point and just did some target practice, shot this whole thing out. Like, the whole head was gone, just shot out. And he signed it and gave it to this girl. So that was pretty awesome. Well, afterwards, he's like, yeah, you know, if anybody wants to just, you know, hang out, you know, just let me know. And we're all just standing there talking, and he's taking pictures with people and just being really friendly. And, I mean, that's not somebody that you would expect to be super nice, considering he's played the character of Henry Lee Lucas in Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, which is based on a real guy who really killed a lot of people. But yeah, just super nice guy. And, you know, I was just asking him, I was like, hey, is it cool if I get a picture? He's like, yeah, sure. And he stood there and he's like, all right, let's get a tough face one. So we're kind of like, you know, scowling, not really smiling. He's like, all right, let's do that again. And this time he's like, let's smile. I'm like, all right. So I got a, you know, pissed off Michael Rooker, and then you know, happy and smiling Michael Rooker. Yeah, he's awesome. Well, while I'm standing there, you know, listening before I got the picture taken with him, I feel somebody standing right behind me. Now, this was the probably the weirdest moment that I've ever had at a Horror Hound, and that's saying a lot because it's kind of, it's not that hard to have a weird experience at a Horror Hound. I feel somebody like right there, just over my right shoulder. And I kind of look and it's this dude with, you know, glasses and a baseball cap, and which, you know, doesn't narrow it down a bunch, but he's got like, you know, mustache, goatee kind of thing going on. And I'm like, I kept looking at him like, this guy looks like Brian O'Halloran from Clerks. Also known as Dante from Clerks. Main character of Clerks. Kevin Smith's, like, directorial debut, pretty much. One of them, at least. It's basically the movie that put Kevin Smith on the map. Anyway, I'm like, this guy looks just like Brian O'Halloran, but why is his head almost on my fucking shoulder? So I'm like, what the fuck? And I kind of, like, move to the side a little bit. Like, this dude is, like, right on me. What the hell is going on? And, you know, people started they were asking Michael Rooker about, like, different characters he's played in different films, and he's answering questions and all that during the little, you know, tweet-up, as he called it. And somebody asked him about, like, you know, oh, you when you played, shit, I can't even remember. But they were asking, like, different character names, and this guy behind me goes, I'll always know him as Mr. Svenning. That's what I first, you know, knew him as. So he'll always be Mr. Svenning to me. I'm like, what the fuck? Why? Who are you and why are you talking to me? Like, and why is your head on my fucking shoulder? I still didn't know why. You know, but when somebody's that close and they kind of look like somebody, you don't want to be like, oh, you are this person or whatever. Well, it turns out it was fucking Brian O'Halloran. It was who I thought he was. And he's, like, right over my shoulder. And I'm just like, what the fuck, man? Why are you so close? Well, a little bit later on, I'm walking away, and I realized it really was Brian O'Halloran. So I kind of walk up to him. I was like, hey, man, how's it going? And just, you know, kind of talking to him. I was like, yeah, I'm a big fan of, you know, Clerks and all that. And he's like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. Thanks. And it was just like, why did you come up? You know, I wanted to say it, but I didn't, you know, just, I didn't want to, you know, make him feel weird, even though he made me feel weird. But I was the whole time, like the rest of the night, I'm like, why the fuck was he that close to me? Like the whole time, his head was like almost on my shoulder. Like if you were standing in front of me, it would have looked like I had two heads. Like he was that close to me. So, but yeah, he was just awesome guy, and we're just, you know, walking around and there's different celebrities just walking around, hanging out, and just everybody was super friendly, and there was not a single negative celebrity encounter that we had. Now, another super awesome celebrity encounter that we had. For those of you who know Connie, something you know about her, maybe, is that she is a huge Hellraiser fan, and even more specifically, she's a huge Doug Bradley fan. Doug Bradley being the actor who played Pinhead. Now, her first Horror Hound we went to, Doug Bradley was there. She met him. We had an awesome experience with him. I believe I talk about it in the first Horror Hound wrap-up episode that I did. But we had, you know, he was there at this one, too. Well, I've met him 3 times officially now. She's met him twice. First time I met him, super awesome. Really nice guy. Super friendly. Just, you know, really cool guy. Second time I met him, not as much. But it was understandable. It had been a long day. He was really tired and just whatever. This time, just as friendly as the first time we met him. And we actually brought up some of the events that took place the first time we had met Doug Bradley. And before we could even finish getting out the sentence, there was a bar fight, and, you know, as soon as I say there was a bar fight, he looks at me and he goes, I remember you! And he was just like, he told me exactly, like, everything that took place during the bar fight, at the very first Horror Hound that I ever went to. And it brought everything back to him. It was just us saying there was a bar fight. And my favorite quote that I've ever heard from Doug Bradley, I'll keep saying it because it's awesome, was he was saying something about like how whenever there's a bar fight, you don't close the bar down. But it was more along the lines of, why would you close the bar down? You take the two guys who are fighting, get them out of there, and let everybody continue having a good time. I thought this was America, not the Soviet fucking Union. Okay? That is a direct Doug Bradley quote. He actually said that the first time we met him. Well, fast forward to last weekend. So fast forward and rewind a little bit. We bring up the bar fight again, and he immediately is taken back to that moment, and he's pissed again, like, why would you shut the bar down? And he's like, God, that was such a crazy night. Like, he remembered everything about it. Well, you know, I tell him, like, you know, she's a huge fan. You know, she doesn't have her own personal picture of you with, you know, with her, for one, and also not an autograph from you. So she, you know, Connie picks this picture out, and it's a $30 picture. It's a really big, it's like 11 by 15, pretty good size picture. Normally they're like 8 by 10. So she picks this one, and it's a $30 picture. And as we're talking, he leans over to his, like, assistant, manager, whatever. You know, as he's realizing, like, hey, he's met us before, we had this experience, and, you know, Connie's a huge fan, and she's just standing there just grinning the whole time, like, oh my God, I'm meeting Doug Bradley. This is so awesome. He's so fun and awesome and nice. And she's just gushing over the guy. And, you know, he leans over and he's like, give her back $10. So, you know, Connie gets $10 back, and he's just like, you know, I'll do this one for 20, you know. And just, you know, Connie told me about it later on. I didn't realize what had happened at that point, but, you know, just super nice guy, just, and, oh, just really cool. But I asked him when he had another Spine Chillers episode coming out, because he does this, I guess it's like video series or whatever, where he takes classic literature and will do, like, you know, usually short stories, and he will read them in front of, like, a green screen, and it, like, you know, has, like, creepy backgrounds and stuff. The first one he did was H.P. Lovecraft's The Outsider, and I have a copy of it on DVD at home. And I asked him, you know, when's the next one coming out? And he goes, we've actually filmed several more, but they're all tied up in post-production, and there was some, you know, technical problems that, you know, we may have to go back and do some reshoots. I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, what's the next one? And he looks at me and goes, The Telltale Heart by Edgar Allan Poe. And I was like, oh my God, that's going to be awesome. So I'm a huge Edgar Allan Poe fan, for those of you who don't know. I'm also a huge H.P. Lovecraft fan. I like a lot of the older, like, gothic literature that, you know, came out around those times. And, you know, just the fact that Doug Bradley is bringing that, you know, to a whole new medium is just really cool. So Doug Bradley with his awesome British accent reading H.P. Lovecraft and Edgar Allan Poe and just great literature it's amazing. So I'm excited for those to come out whenever they do. But yeah, that was pretty much Saturday, and then, you know, Sunday came. Yep. That happened. We ended up having to leave really early because, you know, we both had to work on Monday. So we couldn't, you know, stay late and then just take Monday off or anything, or, you know, get in really late and go to work in the morning. We wanted to get home at a decent time. So, you know, we took off about 5:45, maybe 6 in the morning from Cincinnati, and then just drove home. Yeah, stopping along the way, getting gas, getting breakfast, all that fun shit. Pretty much uneventful. We didn't fight at all, didn't argue until Illinois. And when I say Illinois, we were almost out of Illinois. We were, I shit you not, maybe 10 or 15 miles from the border of Missouri. Maybe that. Okay. Probably five, honestly. Like, we were so fucking close to Missouri. Well, anyway, we're there. We have the blowout in Illinois on the bridge. It's a fucking nightmare. So anyway, that whole shindig goes down. You know, at this point, Connie's pissed. We're now arguing back and forth, just bickering, just like hating being in the car, hating the fact that our tires blew, just hating life at that point. It's just, it sucked. So, anyway, we get the new tires, we're back on the road, and, you know, we finally end up making it home, and we both just kind of crashed, you know. We just were like, let's just go to bed, you know. We were both just super drained, and, like, I drove the entire way there and the entire way back. Usually I have Connie take over, but, or no, we went to Connie's brother's house, so we didn't even get home yet. And we were already, like, stopping at other people's houses, so... but we went and had a... It was a little birthday party for her brother-in-law, and... Yeah. Then we finally made it home, and that's when we actually just kind of collapsed, you know. It was probably, like, 9 o'clock by the time we got home, but... You know, 5:45 in the morning to 9 at night before we're even home. Just straight driving. It just, it sucks, and we will never do it again unless we fly, you know. I mean, there's no way we're driving that long of a distance. But fear not, fellow listeners of awesomeness such as Slugcast. We are, at this point, planning on being at Horror Hound Weekend again in March. That's the plan, at least. This one will be in Columbus, Ohio, which is an additional 2 hours away from Cincinnati. Further north. It's not 2 hours away closer to us. No, it's further away. So, there's that. but they have an airport right in Columbus. And we are already looking into getting round-trip tickets for the both of us to fly out there. So, look forward to that in March. So, I think that's going to about wrap it up. Now, I mentioned earlier that I have Slugcast shirts and Slugcast hoodies. If anybody is interested in a Slugcast hoodie or shirt, get a hold of me, and I will see about getting some shirts made. They're probably going to be about $20, which is relatively normal for podcast shirts. All proceeds, pretty much, well, other than, you know, what it goes to actually make the shirts, goes to actually help fund the show. So, you know, there's not many fees with doing a podcast, but there are some that actually affect, you know, hosting and, you know, domain registrations and all that shit. So any little bit helps. So if anybody wants any Slugcast merchandise, feel free to get a hold of me, let me know, and we'll get you set up. So until next time, you can get a hold of me by getting on Facebook, facebook.com/slugkc. That's my personal page. I'm not sure about the Slugcast page itself on Facebook. I haven't updated it in forever. Check out the website at www.slugcast.com. You can call and leave me a message at 816-200-SLUG, which is 816-200-7584. You can follow me on Twitter at SlugKC or at Slugcast or at Slugtrail Brews. So that's my three Twitter accounts that you can check out. If you'd like to send me an email, you can write me at slugcastkc@gmail.com. You can check me out on Rebound Radio, reboundradio.com. I think at some point in the near future I'll be able, or you'll be able to listen to the show on Stitcher Radio. So look for that. I need to go get a hold of Brad and have him set that up. Let's see, anything else? I'm sure there is, but I'm kind of tired right now. So until next time, everybody, have fun. And I think my new sign-off will be, don't text in movies. There you go. You'll have to listen to the next episode of Vices and Terramo to get that. So, all right, don't text in movies. Bye.
bitch can't be no homegirl, drop it like the NASDAQ. Move white girls like this coat up my ass crack. Move black girls, cause man, fuck it, I'll do either. I love pussy, I love bitches, dude, I should be running Peter in Adidas with some short shorts. B-O-O-R over me, my green is where it's supposed to be. Your green is in my grocery. This Asian dude, I stole his girl, and now he got that Koji beef. My dick is like an accent mark, it's all about the overeat. Hot like a parked car, I sound weird like nigga with a hard R. Fly like the logo on my cousin's 440. Eating Oreos like these white girls that blow me. Vodka for my ladies, whiskey for a grown man. Hanging in the islands looking for Earl like Toe Jam. I make the beat retarded, so I'm calling it a slow jam. Butcher and I know it, man, kill beef, go ham. These rappers are afraid of him, cause I'm a beast, bitch, girl. Invaders and Gambino is a call girl. Fuck you, pay me. Brand new whip for these niggas like slavery. Told me I was awful and that shit did not faze me. Tell me how I suck again, my memory is hazy. You're my favorite rapper now, yeah, dude, I better be. Or you can fucking kiss my ass, human centipede. You wanna see my girl? I ain't that dumb. You wanna see my girl? Check Maxim. Man, why does every black actor gotta rap some? I don't know, all I know is I'm the best one. It's a bonfire, turn the lights out. I'm burning everything you motherfuckers talk about. It's a bonfire, turn the lights out. I'm burning everything you motherfuckers talk about. You know these rapper dudes talk shit, start killing. Fuck that, got goons like an arch villain. I'm from the south, ain't got no accent, don't know why. So this rapper's child's play, I do my name like Princess Di. Yeah, they say they want the realness, rapped about my real life. Told me I should just quit. First of all, you talk white. Second off, you talk like you haven't given up yet. Rap stepfather, yeah, you hate me, but you will respect. I put in work, ask Ludwig. Put my soul on the track like Shoes did. Play this for my cousin, now he can't even think straight. Black and white music, now nigga, that's a mixtape. Shout out to my blurs, they represent the realness. Shout out to Gambino girls, my dick is in the building. I know you hate me cause your little cousin play me out. I like black girls who nerdy, but when they dance they be saying ow. I'm sorry for who follow me. Chillin' with a Filipina at your local Jollibee. Yeah, I'm in her ass like side of me. So if you see my hand under the table, don't bother me. I don't talk soft, that's that other guy. I'm screaming what the fuck is up like I ain't see the sky. The shit I'm doing this year, insanity. Made the beat that murdered it, Casey Anthony. These rappers won't know what to do, cause all I did was act me like a Looney Tune. And I'll give you all of me until there's nothing left. I swear this summer will be summer camp, bitch.
Slugcast is a proud member of Rebound Radio. Check it out at www.reboundradio.com.